Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
The series we've been in, Here Comes the Sun, we started with an introduction by Pastor Alex Lee, our lead pastor. Then we had week two to fulfill God's plan. It wasn't like Jesus' coming was on a whim, some sort of knee-jerk reaction. It was a plan from the very beginning when people fell away from their relationship with God. Third week, last week, we had Here Comes the Sun to Mary. And we also had our Christmas nativity and all of that, which was brilliant. This week is Here Comes the Sun to shepherds. So if you're taking notes, I know the most diligent note takers amongst us are our teenagers, our youth group. So they're all there, pens poised, devices ready to take notes. So it's Here Comes the Sun to the shepherds. You can put that in there. And then for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, it's Here Comes the Sun to the world. And that's what we're going to be bringing. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke 2, starting verse 18. Luke 2:18. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would take a hold of your word and that your Holy Spirit would apply it to every heart in this place today, and that we would take something away because you spoke to us and we encountered you. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So the first thing we're looking at here is he came to shepherds. Teenagers, he came to the shepherds. Now, it perplexes me in the natural why he came to shepherds. Because when you think about this event in the history of history, it is the biggest thing that would ever happen. From the time that people fell away from their relationship with God, from the time this thing called sin, this rebellion in the heart of people that caused a barrier between them and God, from the time that happened, there has been a plan. God had a plan. He had a plan that someone from humanity would be raised up to reconcile us back to the Father. He had a plan that a descendant of Abraham would be raised up. He had a plan that a descendant of one of the tribes of Israel, Judah, all what I'm telling you now is in the Bible, these prophecies. You can check them out. And then he narrowed it down even further and said it will be from the family of King David. There was all these things called prophecies that spoke about the things that would come. A prophet called Isaiah in the 53rd chapter spoke of one who would come to die. King David, he wasn't just a king, he was a prophet. And in the 22nd Psalm, he spoke of one who would come to live a perfect life and to die. There was a Passover where a lamb was slain, and it spoke about one who would become the perfect lamb slain for all humanity. All of these things, multitudes of things that were prophesying and anticipating about this moment. Now, you would think it's such a big deal because everything before this moment looked towards it. And everything since this moment has been a part of God's plan of salvation because this moment happened where one from heaven, God Himself, was sent to live a perfect life that none of us can live so that He can take our death and give us life. I would have thought, and if I was like in God's executive in heaven, this is the advice that I would give him. So I'm on the church executive here. And one of the things I do is advise Pastor Al. And that's sort of like advising Jesus because he looks like Jesus. So I've got lots of practice. But I would have said things like, okay, God, Jesus is coming. This message needs to get around to the world, so we need to make sure we speak to the influential in society. We need to get like the captains of industry, those who are in education, those who are in those institutions that hold sway and create culture and influence every area. We might need to find a few of those first century influencers out there and what they are doing. Let's get the word out. But oh no, God chooses shepherds living with their sheep camping in the bush. He chooses people who are considered ceremonially unclean because they're always living with their animals. They are unable to do the meticulous cleaning rituals, and so they are not able to come and meet with the others as they come to worship. They are considered untrustworthy. In the Mishnah, a written account of the oral law, it suggests that buying wool, milk, baby goats from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption that they had been stolen. They didn't have civil rights. In some legal context, they were told that they could not hold judicial offices and that their witness was not accepted in court. They were generally considered to be rednecks, basically. They were seen as coarse, unlearned, separated from the mainstream of community life. But it's really interesting because this is not the only time we see this. It seems like God likes to do things in the way that we think not. Because if we do it in the ways of man, we would probably rely upon the ways that we would do it. So God, you've got this big plan of salvation. All right, let's form a committee. Let's get all these people that know a whole lot of people. My people will talk to their people. And we would rely it on the ways and the means of man. The Apostle Paul put it this way. I reckon some of the Corinthians were a little bit offended when they heard this, but this is what he said to them in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many influential. Not many were noble of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before Him. Now, last week, we looked at Jesus coming to Mary. We had a very good preacher at Lower North Shore, name was Eloise Ditchfield. And Eloise said this about Mary. Mary was a nobody in a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. And yet, this young lady with a heart towards God, who said, "Let it be as you have said," was used by God in the most extraordinary way. The fact that God chooses those who that we would think not emphasizes to us that he wants us in the matter of the good news and what that means, that he has taken away our sin, he has taken our death and gave us life, that we don't need to land that on top of being a certain part of society or having a certain education level or being in a certain economic level. It is just something that we can say, yes, I receive it. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. That's good news. Right there. We cannot earn it by the ways of man. So, is there crew that God has done things through and in our world, in our generation, that this would be the case of? Has anyone seen The Jesus Revolution, a movie that, pretty cool movie, huh? Went and saw it with Mark Saundercott, with Pastor Phil and Chris. We went and saw it at Roy Mustaka's famous establishment at Warriewood. And what this story is about is in the 1970s, there's a lot of young people who embraced a worldview of free love, drugs, psychedelic drugs, hallucinogenic drugs, anti-establishment, getting around in bare feet and being against all the things that had been accepted by their parents. And this street preacher, a guy called Lonnie Frisbee, what a cool name if you're a hippie, huh? Lonnie Frisbee brought the good news of the gospel, and hippies received this good news in their multitudes. And Lonnie realized that this needed to happen in the context of church. You can't just sort of be secret agent Christians. You need to be in community. And went to a guy called Chuck Smith. And Chuck was pastoring a traditional church that was actually slowly diminishing. And it freaked him out because it really looked like the hippies were the crew that really couldn't come. We wouldn't accept those guys. It's such a church attitude. But sometimes we do this journey where we accept what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross and took our sin. And then that starts a process where we learn to grow to be more like him and to know him more. And sometimes once we do that journey a little bit and we grow to be a little bit more like him, we start looking down our noses at everybody in the world who hasn't started that journey. Sort of like if we want someone to become a Christian, they've got to become a Christian before they can become a Christian and do all of this stuff first. So it was a big deal for Chuck Smith, but he said, yes, they can come in. So all these, they just filled this little church, and a lot of the members got rather upset about it. But what that precipitated is perhaps the greatest spiritual awakening of the 20th century. A lot of these hippies that came to Jesus, they were disparagingly called Jesus freaks. Now, a part of that whole move made it to New Zealand, and a couple of hippies over there, Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle, came to Jesus, and how thankful we are for that. Jesus brings his plan of knowing God to and through those we might think not, so that salvation does not rest on the attitudes and the ways of people. He came to the shepherds. Secondly, the message was good news. Let's look at verse 9 of Luke 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Right? There's a few things he said there is meant to really help us zone in on what he's talking about. In the town of David, right? It had been prophesied by the Old Testament prophets that the one who would come would be a descendant of King David. The town of David, Bethlehem. Right? This is the place that this child would be born. and that he would be the one who would save us from our sins. This is the one that was prophesied about, called the Messiah or the Anointed One. So this was not news to the shepherds. They knew about this stuff. Every Jewish person did. And the angel was saying, well, that one that we have been yearning for millennia is here. And we are bringing the good news. Now, I want to just focus in on this good news for a moment, because I think the world around us can get a bit confused about our message, because sometimes the message of the church can be confusing. That we start bringing a message which is about all sorts of things. But let me tell you, as I read the Word of God, there is one message that comes first and daylight second before you get to all of the other messages. And once again, the Apostle Paul makes this really clear as he's talking to the Corinthians. Check this out. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, talking about the good news. That's what gospel means. Talking about the good news, he says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Come on, look at this. Not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the gospel. He took our sin on the cross. If you're wondering, what was that cross all about? The perfect man, God himself, lived a perfect life. He died anyway, not because he deserved it, but because we did in our sin. And he took that sin, therefore removing the blockage between us and God. He took it on himself. And in its place, when we believe that he did that, he gives us life. This is the most significant moment. The bookends, really. Christmas and Easter are the bookends. Christmas was all about what was going to happen at Easter. Christmas was all about the one who came to be born, to live, to die. So it is in all of the history of history, this moment is huge. Now you probably noticed that there's a fair bit of angel stuff going on in this story. Anyone notice that? Anyone? And let me just do a quick survey. Anybody here has seen an angel? Just a quick survey. I know. Yes. I know. Yes. So in the service this morning, there was one. And so sometimes we can think that because of what our senses and experience are limited to, that is the extent of what is real. So you and I, we live in the temporal. We've got a time when we were born. There's a time we'll die. It's temporal. That eternal, that messes with our heads. It's really hard to conceive of eternal. And yet that is the reality that God dwells in and God has in store for us. The supernatural, the spiritual. It's difficult for us when we live in the natural to conceive of it. And yet it is a reality that is all around us. And at this moment that was so significant, it's like God just goes, I'm just going to let the spiritual and the eternal break out in this moment. And so we see these extraordinary beings called angels doing stuff at this time. This is significant. No, Before I was a pastor, I was a biologist. I love reading and exploring about things that have been created. Another quick survey. Did anybody wake up this morning acutely aware of the Earth's magnetic field? And yet, along the New South Wales coast, right now, are birds called bar-tailed godwits. And they found their way there from Alaska by being aware of something of which we've got no idea and probably wouldn't even consider real if it was based on our senses. And that's just one example of a squillion things in the natural world of where there is senses that pick things up. There is a spiritual world, and we are called to be eternal beings. And we see some of the glory of this in what God is doing here in this moment. So we've got, they came to the shepherds. The message was good news. Final point, the shepherds went to meet the Son. The shepherds went to meet the Son. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. They didn't.